Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here. ESPN 975. 713-780-3776.
Well, you're right. Art is losing. But it's not shown up for Dell and I. We only see one of them. But then if I go to Art's account, I'm like, oh, my God. What happened to him?
No,
he is super mad today.
I mean, take a value, Art. Good Lord. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in with us. Chris is here. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, two quick things. Lance, I kind of agree with you in the sense with the hitting coach. So I have a son that plays select baseball, and then I knew a major leaguer back in the day. And there is a sense in which these guys have a private hitting coach and, like, a private pitching coach. My buddy was a pitcher in the major leagues. And then the team coach. And oftentimes, and I see this with my son, the private coach will give them certain things to do, and then the team coach will come in and say this. And there's this kind of, what's one of my listening to? And I wonder, you know, Altuve being a Hall of Famer, probably got him a hitting coach that he works with on a regular basis. And then when you think about Hunter Brown, you know, my buddy had a private pitching coach that got him all the way through the major leagues. And the team would say, hey, do these things. And he would often tell the team, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I've been doing this for 9 years. I'm not going to change it. Sorry, it is what it is. So I've always wondered where that kind of plays. And then I have a real quick Texas question. I tried to call in yesterday, and you can answer this later, Lance. But in the third or fourth round, if Cade Klubnik's on the board, you think there's an option they take him as a third quarterback behind Davis Mills?
No.
It doesn't work out?
No.
And I'll hang up the list.
I think there's zero chance. No. No. Cade Klubnik will go fifth or sixth. So.
Well, not third, but okay. Would they... And he has said he's not going to draft a quarterback, but it wouldn't be a bad idea because how much Davis Mills is costing you.
Okay,
now.
Yeah, let's change the question. Is
would fifth the Texans, or sixth or seventh, whatever.
Would the Texans consider picking up – look, I know they'd consider picking one up as a priority free agent. That would make sense. But would they consider? I think it's an interesting question.
Well, he said he's not drafting a quarterback.
I don't think any of these quarterbacks can become starters for you, and I think most of them would not compete with Davis Mills as a backup. So I wouldn't personally, this class, I wouldn't personally waste a draft pick. I just think there are a bunch of guys who will get you beat. And so I want somebody who can come in and win at least one of three games if they have to start. And none of these guys hit that designation to me. I think they're all a bunch of guys who will get you beat. Nussmeier, the closest I have is Carson Beck, and I don't trust him long term. Nussmeier will just make too many mistakes and do dumb stuff. Talon Green can't throw straight. It's just too many. No, I wouldn't. I would. I believe Nick when he says he's not going to draft a quarterback. I believe it. Now, I think if the class was a better class, I think I would consider it if it were a better class.
Why not get a cheaper backup?
Well, because you trust this back. This is a why are you I trying to it. Be a money saver when Davis Mills came in and, you know, potentially saved your season last year?
Yep.
Right? I mean, he came in and they won games that they had to
they
win,
won
including
games not because of him, but
well, the come from behind game against Jacksonville.
Yeah, but it also the first three quarters, he's, you know.
And the Buffalo Bills, how did he play in the Bills game?
I mean, if you look at his numbers, he was just okay.
But that's okay. He didn't turn the ball over a ton, if I remember correctly.
I mean,
he came in, and when he came in, they won. It is important for a good – I think good teams need to have quality backups. And none of these guys, I would not want to try to save a couple million dollars – personally,
you know, save that energy, though. I mean, when CJ played against Pittsburgh, we destroyed him for the way he played against Pittsburgh.
No one wants car insurance until you have a wreck. That's what having a backup quarterback is. No one wants to know, no one cares about it until you care about it. And then all of a sudden, you're like, my God, we got Talon Green in right now.
But at what point is car insurance too expensive and you got to go with Geico? At what point do you say, I can't do this anymore?
Car insurance is car insurance.
Well, no, it's not. No, it's not.
I mean, if you've got a quality car insurance that will pay for your accidents, having a bad, you know, having a cut rate, low caliber insurance is like having a bad second quarterback. They're not doing anything for you. You're paying for it, and they're not doing anything for you. You know what I mean? They'll lose for you. You come in and you're substantially worse.
You don't have to have a bad second quarterback just because they're young and cheap.
Yeah, why does it have to be bad?
Because that's what this draft class is. That's my whole point. If this was a better draft class, he might consider it. But I'm not. Why are you in a big hurry to get rid of Davis Mills?
Well, I'm not in a big hurry, but he is. It's starting to get to the point where. And oh, by the way, yeah, how much time is left on his deal?
One year.
Yeah, but I don't think the next guy's in this class. That's
well, how
the
do
problem.
You know Davis Mills is going to want to go somewhere where he can play?
No, he may want to go somewhere he can. I'm saying this class, John, is I'm not drafting it in this class. That's my whole point. I just think the supply and demand. I think the supply side is extremely low. I don't hate the idea. I hate the idea
can
for this class.
Can you find a better developmental guy than Graham Mertz? In this class?
Kate Klubnik might be. He's a little small. He might be in the sixth-ish. It really depends on how the Texans view certain positions. Like, I do think there is a chance they try to draft a tackle. And the reason I say that is right now they're already paying for two right tackles. You're going to pay for a third right tackle, one that won't play at all. You know, but the reason I say that is because, well, both of these guys have injury issues who are right tackle, Braden Smith and Trent Brown. You also are going to have both. I think Trent Brown's gone after this year, and Braden Smith has, what, 2 years on his deal? So, yeah, I could see them drafting. I think they will probably draft two offensive linemen in this draft. I could see them taking another running back potentially in this draft, although, frankly, it's a bad running back draft, too. I'd be just as happy just pulling somebody off the, you know, somebody that was dropped, a player that was cut, or maybe trading a seventh rounder for a running back. I'd be just as happy doing that. I think they're going to draft another wide receiver. So I think two offensive linemen get drafted, a wide receiver, I think at least one defensive tackle, maybe an edge rusher, a backup cornerback or two is needed here. I just, when I run down the list of needs, I don't think a third quarterback
checks. We don't draft for need.
I know, but it just ends up – the BPAs always end up being positions you kind of need. I've just noticed – I know it's a coincidence, but I've noticed that the BPA is – Dell's chanting BPA in there, BPA, like SEC. I just don't think quarterback – I mean, to me, that's a low priority. Finding a third quarterback to try to compete with what's-his-name this year is not a – I don't think that's smart. I really think these guys will get you beat. I think it's a bad group. Klubnik, all of them. Nussmeier, boy, I really came around on Nussmeier. The more you watch tape on him, like, Jesus, Garrett, what are we doing?
So,
why are you doing this? Like, it's just chronic dumb.
When
you
brought him up to me last year, I told you.
He's terrible. He'll make some great throws. The problem is, you just can't live with great throws and horrific turnovers. They can't coexist for a backup quarterback. You can't have it.
I wonder if he doesn't grow. He's got the tools and... I told you.
And he's small.
I watched him the first year he played. I was like, God,
look,
no, goodness.
Now, look.
He was talked about as the number one overall pick.
Now, let me tell you, if he were Drew Aller's size, if he were 6'4", 230 pounds, I'd be willing to work with that. But he's like 6'1", 207. He's constantly injured. He's always injured. He's a coach's son who doesn't play like a coach's son. Like, just too many concerns around that. Carson Beck, to me, is clearly the third best quarterback. I would potentially take him in the third round as a Davis Mills type, as a career backup. That's what I'm doing. And I think if he got in some games, you could be okay with him. He's the only guy that I see that acts as a functional, like, okay, I could see this guy being an NFL backup that could come in and maybe do what Davis Mills does. I could see that being Carson Beck. But that's almost it after you get outside of Ty Simpson. Well, that is it for me. I got to watch this kid from Rutgers today. But the rest of them, like, have major holes. No. Now, I did think Cade Klubnik was really hurt by his offensive line. Klubnik, I think, is better than he played at Clemson. But he's also a small guy. He's also a little guy. I'm almost done with little quarterbacks unless they're really plus runners, unless they're really dual-threat quarterbacks. I don't, 6 foot quarterbacks are 204 pounders. These little waifs of quarterbacks who can get their tailbones cracked in. I don't know about all that stuff, man. I need more grown man quarterbacks.
All right, 713-780.
Not skaters.
What?
I don't want guys who can hang out at skate parks and fit in. You know, Drew Aller, and look, Drew Aller to me, I wouldn't touch Drew Aller in the eighth round.
Not just even too many, a UFA, huh?
Just too many Christian Hackenberg vibes with him.
Numbers the same.
Because they're Penn State guys?
Penn State, performance, how he's gotten worse every year. There's this weight. I was like, oh, my God. He was best when he was a sophomore. He's got the same size, the same number. Everything is coming down. His accuracy's bad. He doesn't have good poise. I'm like, oh, my God. This is feeling very Hackenberg-y.
He had a couple of good years. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. Right now, we're talking about a little HRP. I got a text, as a matter of fact. These guys, I mean, I got a text from Chris this morning. He said that it sounds really, really good. The microphone sounds really, really good today, which I was just thrilled to hear. But, they have a vested interest in our business. That's the kind of people that they are. You know, I know that Mike or Kevin or Chris or all of those, John, all of these guys, they care about us. They listen to the show, but they also care about their other clients. They're going to go eat there. They're going to make sure that everything is great. They're going to check in with you all the time. Hey, how are things going? What can we do? Is there anything, any issues, whatever? I mean, they have a vested interest in your business. They want to make sure that you succeed. They want to make sure that everything is perfect for you, HR, payroll, tax-wise, benefits-wise. They want to make sure that it's perfect so that your business runs smoothly, that you worry about your widgets. Go sell your widgets. Go be as good as you can possibly be with what you do, and they're as good as they can possibly be with what they do. And that's payroll and HR and all of the other stuff that goes along with it. You're looking for the best company that's going to partner with you. They're not going to be a client. They are going to partner with you to make your business great. HRP.net. Call them today and start a process that's really easy. Let them do all the work and let them tell you how much money they can save you every month. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You want to get in? What you want to talk about? You're both welcome. Chip is here. I want to win a chip. I think this Rockets team going to win a chip here. And Chip is here. What up, Chip?
Hi, can y'all hear me? Oh, sorry. Can y'all hear me or no?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
I wish the Rockets would win a chip. That being said, I'm kind of agreeing with, I think it was Dale that was saying it, but I don't understand why we're having so many conversations about drafting a quarterback and a draft that really doesn't have quarterbacks to even look at. I think BPA is kind of the way to go, and I think I would say to keep Davis Mills, and I understand you have to pay for it for a year, and then kind of give C.J. Stroud a prove it year because Davis Mills did sort of save a year at the end of the year. I would rather us get some foundational pieces with the premium picks that we have. There's a lot of offensive linemen we can look at. There's a lot of tight ends we can look at. There's even wide receivers like Jordan Tyson that might drop in the draft. So if you get into a situation where a guy like Jordan Tyson drops 26 or Kenyon Sadiq drops 26 just because somebody doesn't want to tight end.
Hold on. You keep saying 26. Yeah. Are you speaking for the Texans or a different team? Who's 26?
For the
28,
man.
Okay.
Okay, I was just making sure you're talking 28. Yeah, but Chip, we're not talking about quarterbacks in the first round. Like,
No.
Okay.
We're talking about the sixth round, Chip. We're talking about the sixth round.
No, we're really talking about just the whole idea, would you draft a third quarterback? That's all.
I think just drafting a quarterback, period, because I don't think at any point in the draft the best player available at the BPA is going to be a quarterback.
That's fair.
I think
that's true.
Building the foundational pieces, in my opinion, is what we should go after. And if C.J. Stroud doesn't improve, then you move on and you venture for Davis Mills. And if Davis Mills isn't the guy, then you have your answer next year where there's a bunch of quarterbacks in the draft where you can go out and find a quarterback that you can build with that actually has the ability to not completely put you – not completely fail you. Like, if this year's a loss, it's a loss. At least he got some foundational pieces for the future, even in the Pistons they draft.
Yeah, listen, it wasn't Dell that said we shouldn't draft. It was me. I said we shouldn't draft a quarterback because there's no quarterbacks in this draft.
I just said that.
So,
weren't you fighting for a quarterback?
No, I thought it was me. It was the show that said that.
Yeah, no, this is not a good year to. I'm with you on everything you said there, Chip. I was just making sure you're talking Texans and not like maybe you had a team at 26. Yeah, so
no,
at 28.
Nobody's talking about 28. Yeah. Listen, there is a thought. You draft a quarterback every year regardless.
Yeah,
draft one.
I don't just throw away.
Even if it's
like
in the sixth round or seventh round, whatever.
I'm not with that. Although
just
Nick
throw
loves,
it up against the wall, see if it sticks.
Our agent friend was right. Nick loves Graham Mertz. So for whatever reason, Graham Mertz is his guy.
Wow.
Period. He believes he's the third.
Well, now that you know what, Nick just lost credibility.
Well, I'm just telling you, like, he kept him last year on the roster. He's keeping him again. That's why he's telling you we're not drafting quarterback. We got Graham Mertz. We got, and that's fine with me. I what Chip said is right. There's going to be somebody who could help you with depth or special teams in the fifth round more than a third quarterback would. And the same thing goes for sixth round and potentially seventh round. So, yeah, I'm with you on all that, Chip. I think this year's draft is it's very interesting because you're not beholden to any one position necessarily. So Nick loves to move up, move down. I believe that Nick – well, it really depends on who falls to him. And Jordan Tyson's a tough one. I'm seeing some reputable people really start to put him in the top 10, like he's moving up. I also know his agents get on the phone and talk to a lot of people. So it could be, you know, where they're talking some of these guys into the fact that they're going to get drafted higher than you think. I like
who
his
is
agents
going to fall the most on draft day?
I think Jermob McCoy, the corner from Tennessee. I think there's some injury stuff that could cause him to fall.
Okay. Like, is there going to be somebody sitting there that they keep on going to in the green room?
I mean, you know,
he's not a name.
So, he's the second best corner in the draft. Like, it depends on what you mean by name. I think the corners are going to fall. I think Jordan Tyson's injuries could cause him to fall some. There's definitely a chance of that. Mesidor, I've heard Akeem Mesidor could fall some further.
Well,
what
about
people
Bain
think.
With the stuff?
I don't think so. I don't think Bain was going to go as high as people thought, but I think Bain will probably go inside the first 12 picks. That's a little bit of a fall from what
that's a fall.
Say. That's yeah.
That's a fall.
That's a little bit of a fall.
Fall your ass to 11, Bain.
Yeah, yeah.
Fall right to 11.
I mean, look, there's needs at 9, at 10, at 11, and at 12. Like, there's no way he falls past that. All four of those teams need pass rush.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, the you could argue the Saints, but really the Chiefs at 9, at 10 is the Bengals, and 11 is the Patriots, the Dolphins, and 12 is the Cowboys. All four of those teams need
rush. The Dolphins are too stupid to draft them.
Well, they got new guys in charge. Fall right to 11.
Like, I could see Lemon or Jordan Tyson falling behind Casey Concepcion. That he could actually end up surprising
Lemons. He's fun to watch, though.
Yeah, no, he's a really good player.
There's no chance he's still around for the Texans, right?
No, I don't think so. No. He's just too – everyone needs wide receiver, and it's not a super deep wide receiver. So, yeah, no, I don't see him on the board there. There could be some offensive linemen fall in this draft as well. I think – you know, Spencer Fano, if he doesn't go, there's some buzz that he could go sixth. There's some buzz that Cleveland likes him. And if Cleveland doesn't take him at six, you got Kansas City at 9. And if that doesn't happen, he could fall a little bit. And he's considered one of the top two tackles.
Who is the consensus for the Texans at 28? But, all of the different mocks.
Well, you see defensive. You typically see either defensive tackle or offensive tackle. That's all you ever
Who?
See there. You see Caden McDonald, you see three names, Peter Woods, Caden McDonald, or every once in a while you'll see a Kristen Miller, which they had him in for a 30 visit, so that's something you should probably pay attention to, although I think he's more of a target if they trade out of 28 into the early part of the second round. My guess is Kristen Miller, defensive tackle from Georgia, would be one of the guys they're targeting instead of at 28. But, you know, what's the difference between drafting them at 28? I remember Dennis Lindsay telling me this when he worked with the Rockets. The Rockets believed, like I asked why they would draft Roderick Rose. This is a bad example because Roderick Rose ended up being a player. But why would you draft a guy at one place instead of back further where his quote unquote value is. And their idea was, if you like him here,
get him.
You like him here. You're like, yeah. If you like the guy, then you take him. So Nick could kind of get slick. But the only way you get slick is if you have multiple players that you like, and so you move back because no matter who gets taken, you know someone's going to be there.
Now, NBA the draft is a little different, though.
Offensive line, but you also don't want to get too cute. Like if you like a guy, if you say, man, we like Kristen Miller from Georgia, but we like him more at 35 than 28. Is it really that big a difference? There's not really that big a difference, to be honest.
I mean,
with
what
you.
Can you get? Their seventh rounder. I mean, so no, it's not worth the risk.
Right. It's not. I mean, moving like that, you'll get a third rounder. So, you know, maybe you think it's worth the risk, maybe a fourth. But I would say, we just had the power go out recently. Just very briefly.
Yeah, the generator kicked on, so John's still with us, at least as far as radio. He's not with
us
video.
Just for brief.
We don't have any video, but we'll get that back up.
We had to restart the function. But now the offensive lineman that they could look at would include, depending on what you do with Ursary, because you could easily just move Ursary back to the right side, would be Caleb in the future. Would be Caleb Lomu from Utah, who could sit for a year, be a swing tackle while he continues to learn. And he would be one. Max Ahanachor from Arizona State. He's got a good upside, but he's kind of raw still. So you could actually draft him and let him sit for a year, and you're not worried about it. You're like,
Schefter put that name out there too. I wonder if he.
Yeah, because Ahanachor, you just think, well, do you want to really have to draft somebody that sits, a right tackle who sits? But he actually needs to sit. So that would actually make some sense if you brought him in. You basically are bringing him in. You get 5 years with him, and he takes over eventually on the right side after he gets another year, maybe even 2 years to sit and observe. So, yeah, I think Max Ahanachor might make some sense from Arizona State. He is a little raw, though. He does need some more work. And I think Chase Basantis, to a lesser extent, at guard, could be in play for the Texans from Texas A&M. You're not drafting a center that early. That's not going to happen. So those are some names to keep an eye on. There's three defensive tackles that I think are in play there. There's a couple of tackles that I think are in play there. Maybe a guard that's in play. The Texans have drafted players in the past who've gone on their 30 visits where you get they're considered, you know, visits. You get 30 visits. I can't remember why they're called 30 visits. But anyway, the Texans, there's a lot of teams who just bring guys in and they're kind of back after the draft. They're just, you know, they maybe bring them in for medical stuff, whatever. The Texans have actually drafted players who have been in for 30 visits. So they're one of the teams that I actually pay attention to the guys. Like Cade Stover, they drafted him. Stover was in for a 30 visit. He was a draft pick. Kenyon Green, he was drafted. Kenyon's also a local guy. But they are willing to draft guys on their 30 visits. So I do pay attention for that with the Texans. And I think wide receiver, you know, I don't know that they think Jalen Noel is a lockdown, dead cent starter. And I don't think Tank Dell's a free agent after this year. I don't think it's crazy that if KC Concepcion was there at 28 and the Texans took KC Concepcion, I would say great, awesome pick. You just got a lot better by adding KC Concepcion. Mm-hmm. If he dropped, I don't think he'll drop.
That would be, but a lot of people, oh, yeah, offensive line. You know what? You get a KC Concepcion.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as much grumbling about that.
No, there would not be.
How mad are
Well,
Texans?
Maybe from Longhorns.
Do I have to come on the show the next day if the Texans trade out of the first? Like, there's a stipulation that I don't have to come on,
No,
right?
Yes, you have to come on the show.
But if they trade out of the first, the draft doesn't matter for Texans fans. Mm-hmm.
You have to come on the show, yeah. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776.
Oh, Ty Simpson. That's right. Dusty, remind me. Ty Simpson's in the green room. You want to see a fall? Remember how he got a little push because Dan Orlovsky was creating that fake drama? Yeah, what's happening now is it all the NFL teams are like, nah, bro. Yeah. Ain't going to be us.
That's not going to be us. Shadur Simpson is going to be.
I don't think you're going to see him get Shadur'd, if that's a verb now. I think it is a verb now.
Yeah, he's going to get Shadur'd.
Because it's rare that you have people looking for a guy in the first round that goes in the fifth round. You have had, you know, we have had Thurman Thomas and that kind of stuff where guys are first round and then they go later first or early second. Aaron Rodgers, we saw that. That's getting shadoured when you think you're going one and you go five.
Fifth round?
Yeah, that's when you get shadoured, but no one's getting shadoured in this.
You know what they should give him, though?
Unless it's medical.
They should give him some jewelry from Zadok for hurting his feelings.
I mean, it does smooth over hurt feelings. I'm not going to lie. I don't necessarily typically say you try to buy someone's feelings, but if you do need to buy feelings, Zadok wins. I can promise you that. Zadok.com. Zadok.com. When you go there, you'll see they got a big trunk show coming to Austin. It's actually already passed the trunk show. So you can go to the front. You can go to the front page, and you can see all the different watches that they have. The makers of watches: Baum and Mercier, Bell and Ross, Cartier, Chanel, Chopard, Luminex, Montblanc. They've got all these for watches. They have fine jewelry with different types of jewelry: bangles, links, tennis bracelets, cuffs. They've got necklaces, link chain, pendants, tennis rings, men's jewelry, earrings. Everything you can imagine you can find right there on their website, but you also can get everything serviced and repaired. So even if it's as simple as just cleaning your engagement ring that your wife has, and has been clean for years, if ever, go bring it in. It's going to sparkle after they clean it. And while you're there, take a look at something that you may want to get it for Mother's Day. So it's that simple. Zadok Jeweler is the official jeweler of not just the entire state, but also the country, in my estimation. They're at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Head down there, 28,000 square feet of goodness waiting for you today, and experts who can help in the field, Zadok Jewelers.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, so basketball is front and center. Your kids are watching. Your kids just watched last month the NCAA tournament. Now they got the NBA playoffs, and they're watching hoops, and they want to play. They want to go out front. When they see their guys knocking down threes or dunking windmill dunks or 360s or 180s or whatever, they're like, oh, my goodness, I want to do that, Dad. Well, the only way that they can do that, because they're little and they're not as athletic, is with a pro dunk goal, because you raise and lower it with the push of a button. It's so easy. The kids can do it. Used to be a crank. Now it's just the push of a button. The technology is second to none. The technology every single step of the way. The tempered glass back row, the unbreakable rim, the unrustable stanchion, the installation, stenciling your driveway, everything about it. Everything about it makes it professional and the best goal that you could possibly have. And if you're looking, your kids are looking to play, they ain't gonna play on some goal that you staple to the garage or that you put sand in the base. It just ain't happening, Dad. They want the best goal and they want a dunk. So you got to get them the Pro Dunk goal. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here. Best goal ever. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back.
Here's John Granato.
What? That's not Van Chancellor? We need Van Chancellor to do it. Here's John Granato.
Here's John
Granato. And Lance.
I've never seen a guy who says more things you can't believe than John Granato. He's not to be believed. But you were to be believed when you read somebody who said Liv could be in trouble.
Yeah,
I was to be believed when I said Spencer Arrighetti was a lock yesterday. Zero innings had been reported, and I had already called that game for Arrighetti when I went to my map of where the precincts were coming in. Arrighetti was already yesterday morning in a 9 o'clock hour. We were projecting Spencer Arrighetti as the winner.
Yep, we were. At what time? You projected him early.
Yeah, in the 9 o'clock hour, I think.
9 o'clock hour.
When I made the official
projection. You projected Spencer.
Yeah, I could project.
All right, so
who pitches tonight?
His curveball was ridiculous.
Ryan Weiss is pitching?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I love it.
With no...
He needs to be... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, hold on a second.
The Colorado Rockies.
Wait a minute. Ryan Weiss was being misused in the bullpen. Did you happen to see what Joe did last night using Brian Abreu in the seventh and then the eighth? And then bringing in De Los Santos for the ninth.
Did you happen to see how good
Brian Abreu was?
But wait, Ryan Weiss, your job is still to throw a pitch and get a guy out.
Well, and so was Brian Abreu's, but they used him in the right spot last night.
But you
not as a closer. Okay. He doesn't have that for whatever reason. He's not a closer.
Ryan Weiss has been objectively
Ryan
bad.
Weiss is going to pitch his ass
You're
off.
You're just trying to. That was your guy in the game. You're trying to cut for him.
I'm telling you right now.
Ryan Weiss has been
all
bad.
Zero precincts reported. Ryan Weiss is declared the winner.
And save that.
Yeah.
You do not. This is not the guy you want to throw your hat in with right now.
Yes.
Ryan
yes.
Weiss.
They don't even know. In the number one spot, they have no idea who's going to pitch tomorrow against St. Louis. No idea.
Jeez, this is
going.
Unbelievable. A guy with a 2 WHIP is now starting. Ryan Weiss.
Yep.
Come off of 2 straight.
Watch
bad
Ryan Weiss. Ryan Weiss might save the season.
Jeez. Ryan might get optioned.
No, he might get save.
Ryan Weiss might get DFA'd. He keeps pitching like this.
He's not going to get DFA'd.
He's got a worse ERA than Lance McCullers had last year.
Okay, just watch and learn about Ryan Weiss.
I just want him to earn his money.
That's
get
all.
Somebody out.
He was being used wrong, just like Brian Abreu was. Brian
How
Abreu
was he being used? He
gets
wasn't a
into
starter.
The seventh hole, into the seventh inning where he belongs, and boom, boom,
well,
boom, go sit out.
How did you want Ryan Weiss used?
He was being used in a bullpen. He's a starter.
Well, who was he going to start ahead of? That was who did?
Well,
who did,
that's why he's got off to a slow start.
Well, he wasn't being misused. And that's where he deserved to be.
Feed people at the hotel, and Emi's going to be good again.
Yeah, if it's that simple, let him eat there. Just guys, yep. we're going to take Emi's coming separate. He's got to eat here.
He's going to eat at the hotel,
He's got his own special time he eats. I don't care. Do whatever he needs. I don't care. At this point, what an embarrassment that would be if he quits and goes back to Japan. Like, I just can't do this anymore.
$54 million contract.
You wouldn't think, but, you know, you wouldn't think, but.
No.
We're already firing interpreters, a bunch of interpreters, and everything's not right, and he's telling us. This fast, he can't acclimate to the country and to the way of life. Like, that's not great in the first month of baseball. Does he know how long the season is? He's already like, how long is this road trip? I never had a road trip this long in Japan.
And cold? And it's cold,
what?
Too?
What?
And I got to eat at the stadium?
What?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and you're going to do that for a 162-game season.
And you know what? And I think one of the problems is none of his interpreters spoke Japanese.
Ooh, that's tough action.
I know.
I can see him.
They got him interpreters that were speaking Korean. And he was like, what? You guys.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, that's why he's through three. Now he's at three now. Yeah,
yeah. That legitimately worries me. This Emi thing, where he's already this fussy and this high maintenance, and everything's a problem. And this is a problem. My arm's already sore. Like, okay, first of all, arm being sore this early, we're used to that, and that's already objectively terrible. And you could be out for 2 years. I'm just warning you right now. As soon as you say that, if it goes down into the forearm, go ahead and take 2 years off. If you start telling me there's a discomfort in your forearm, you're gone for 2 years. That's a minimum. Ask Christian Javier. Ask McCullers. Ask Justin Verlander. And ask Luis Garcia. That is a 2-year injury when your forearm gets a little tight. Period.
So
don't
so,
tell us that.
So after Chandler Rome's report, Joe Espada was asked about, you know, Emi and his how tough it is on him right now. Here's Joe talking about what he's going to do with this.
Tetsuya expressed some challenges and difficulties he's had since coming here this season. Were you aware of any of these, or have you talked to him about it?
Yeah, we have talked to him about it, and he's going to take some time for him to adjust. And we all doing everything in our power to help him adjust. Right from Japan to Florida. Schedule is different. Coming to Houston and then first road trip, he's out three cities. So he's going to take some time, and we all help him, trying to adjust And he will. He will. I'm always calling, Major League managers who's had Japanese players. How can I continue to help them and be a bridge to that transition? They all say the same. It will take some time. Just make sure you extend your arm and be more than just a manager. Be someone they can talk to. Because that relationship between manager and Japanese player is different than in the States. Especially the way I am, I like to engage and bring guys to the office. Let's talk about family and friends and stuff like that. So it's part of a transition, and we're going to help them with it.
All right. And Joe, we trust. Joe's going to get this straightened up.
I don't trust Joe. He hasn't earned in Joe We Trust yet.
Yeah.
We've saved that for other people who have done stuff. Joe hasn't done anything yet for me to in Joe I Trust him. I think this is out of Joe's hands. I think Imai is either going to be, to me, he's either going to become acclimated because he feels that way. I don't think there's anything Joe. I do appreciate that Joe's reaching out to other managers to find out about other Japanese players. I think that's important to try to give you your best chance. But either he's going to continue to be homesick / culture sick, or he's not. And hopefully the Astros can do as much as they can, because it would be important to keep, it'd be important to maybe create a Japanese pipeline, at least give Japanese players another option rather than just Yankees, Mets, Dodgers. How about somebody else get in the mix us?
Do you think he texted Dave Roberts and Roberts said, our guy cried and he's not as soft as your guy?
Yeah.
Our guy cried after the first start.
And he's nowhere near as sensitive
he
as your guy.
He cried on the mound.
Well, wait, but we had mound. Until this, we had a good rep with the Japanese players. I mean, this was a place that you could he talked to Kikuchi. He talked to.
It was a short stay. Well, Kikuchi was already also locked. He was already locked in culturally. He had been in the league a while.
Yeah, but
only
the way
here,
that the Astros have handled Japanese play, this will be kind of. It's going to be kind of a big deal, because if Imai falls off the world, maybe Houston won't be a destination.
That's what I'm saying. It is for me a little bit concerning. It really is, and primarily just because he's a starter. I mean, first and foremost, he's a starter with pretty good stuff. Number one, that's my biggest concern. Over anything else is you can't afford to lose another starter. Now, that's a very drastic move to basically quit baseball this year. But I don't want him taking a mental health break because he can't acclimate. That's a really bad sign about him sticking around. Has this happened? I know it happened a little bit with Vasily Spanoulis with the Rockets. I'm assuming there have been other players internationally that just didn't like the U.S. and just took off. I don't. They're not coming to mind right now because this is our guy.
They're
so
stupid.
It's more. But I bet you there's been another Korean or Japanese player who just said I don't. Who went back and played there. I don't know. We know it happens the other way. We know Americans leave. Now, those are inferior leagues, baseball, basketball-wise. But we know the culture shock. A lot of American players cannot play overseas for very long because they hate it. They hate it. It's just that the bread's so substantial here, and it's the highest level. You would think everyone would want to come here to earn and to test themselves at the highest level. But if you're a pitcher, that's not an everyday thing. You're not locked in every day. You got 4 days in between, sometimes 5 days in between. You're like, what do I do now? There's not 10-level golf, golf ranges here, in Japan, where I'm hitting off 10 levels. There's not fish markets where I can get the most delicious tuna you can possibly. It's only three levels.
Yeah, that's
true. We need to make them 10 levels. No soap lands here.
Did they
they're similar?
Did they think to take him to Chicken and Pickle, whatever that place is called? Maybe he likes pickleball. Have they looked into what's it called again?
What is that?
Is it Chicken and Pickle or Pickle and Chicken? I forgot. There's a pickleball place that serves chicken. Did they think to take him there too?
I don't know. I don't know if pickleball's big in Japan.
The Chicken Pickle.
I didn't see big pickleball going on in Japan when I was there.
Yeah, it's called Chicken and Pickle. Maybe Imai needs to be taken there. Something. Does he like disc golf? These are questions that need to be asked. Lance, maybe you are the reason, if you get in touch with him, that he stays. Maybe you should try it out. You can bond over your trip to Japan. You can talk about being an engine in Japan. Uh-huh. And he can talk about being a bit of an outsider here. You guys can bond over that. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe you're the key to keeping Tatsuya Ibai.
Do your part.
Yeah, Lance.
If they would reach out, and all I want is season tickets. If they would reach in Diamond Club, if they would reach out
to DC,
if they would reach out, it's the food's free there, right, John? Like, yep. I don't have to buy.
No.
Okay, if I can get Diamond Club to, and I just want two, I don't even want four, I don't want my kids
the
coming.
The food's not free because you pay a lot of money for the
so
ticket.
He would get them for free because he's not all, I get, yeah. It's all included, is what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
You still gotta pay for your alcohol.
You know what? I don't even want to, that's fine. I don't even need a park. I'd like a parking pass, that blows. Being honest. But yeah, I want a parking pass too. And I can work with them. So maybe we can make a knife together.
Okay.
That was pretty hard. I actually don't want to do it again.
All right.
I can make him some tempura.
You know what?
You're going to make him tempura?
Some tempura shrimp.
Yeah, you think he wants it from you?
You're going to make that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. I will take him to places. Yeah. I've got places I can take
him. You've got plenty of sushi places.
Yeah, Weishi. I can take him to all you can
eat.
What's
that place with
place.
The
What's the place
the
where
place?
You
what
handy?
Handies
what about handies?
There's handies or handos. We can take him to get handies.
Okay.
It's the Handy's Hand Rolls. It's a real place,
Joe. Yeah, but don't say it. You know how you should say it.
I don't understand what's the problem.
You can't say you're going
to
take
I can take him to get Handy's. They're good. Are good.
You know what you can't say?
You can go back time and time again.
To get new Astros pitchers, Tetsuya Mai acclimated to Houston, we're taking him to get Handy's.
Yeah.
You can't
Handy's I know sushi. It doesn't,
say sushi.
Sushi rolls. Hand rolls.
Yeah.
Sushi. Handy's right. Hand rolls.
There it is.
I got to say that part?
Yes.
So if I say, let's go get Handy's. That's I have to actually throw in the hand roll part for you guys?
Yeah. After a start, Joe Espada, hey, where are you?
I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A so I can get fried chicken with pickles on them. Does that have to do that too, Dale?
Perhaps. If you're in the clubhouse and after a start, he's feeling good. He wants to go out. Joe Spot, where are you taking?
There's also a hand.
Where are you taking Tatsuya tonight? Oh, we're going to go get handies. You can't say that to a Spada.
You can.
What if he pitches better?
Yeah. No, but it's because you're taking him to get
I don't
the
have
hand
to explain
rolls.
To Joe. That's what I'm doing. I don't have to explain to Joe what I'm doing. He just needs to say whatever it takes to get this pitcher back on track.
What about if Robert Kraft comes to town?
No, I'm taking him handos. There's two different ones. Then we're going for sure. I'll say we're going to Hando's.
What if he really likes that sushi over there at Handy's?
Sorry, we're going to Nori Nori in Chinatown. All right?
You don't want
Or we're going to Noragami, and there's a little secret. There's a little speakeasy right next to it. They got a little bar that they have in there.
Okay.
It's fun. Right. Noragami.
Hey, what? One of the problems might be that Imai is really worried about buying a house here and getting a mortgage.
Yeah, listen. Imai's probably not. I don't think I'd use him for Kent Jones right now as my example. The guy who can't, like, how about we lock you into a long-term 30-year mortgage? How does that sound to you, Imai?
Well, he can get him a 15-year. He can get him a jumbo.
Now, you know
he can get a conventional. He can get a niche loan. No. He can get FHA, right. VA,
but
USDA.
I want to see Jeremy Pena sign. Well, I want to see him call Kent Jones and say, because then I know something good's about that.
I want to see all of them call Kent Jones.
I want Hunter Brown to call Kent Jones. Yep.
Who's getting a mortgage, call Kent Jones, because you're not as good as it as Kent Jones is. Kent Jones is better than you are at getting a mortgage. Kent Jones can take care of all of the stuff that you don't even. Okay, title company, got that survey. You got that? You got the right real estate? You got the right mortgage? You got all of these things that Kent Jones knows, been doing, 1,400 closings plus, Better Business Bureau A+. Dude has been doing it. Dude has been saving people thousands of dollars. You don't have any idea. This guy does. It's because he's been doing it for over 30 years. And if you're going to get a home, okay, I don't care if you've bought 10 homes already, Kent Jones will do it better than you do. He will do it better than you, and he will save you money. Why would you want to spend more on your mortgage than you have to? Kent Jones has saved, I don't know, in 1,400 closings, I don't have any idea. It's ridiculous how much money he has saved everybody. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or 975loans.com. Tell him you heard it right here.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. J. Ken Jones, NMLS number 356-118, Equal Housing Lender.